What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Broken Clock Podcast Main Event. This is our wrestling show, and this is for WWE Great Balls of Fire.
Goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious, indeed, does that name suck. Once again, my name is Adam.
I am Joe.
I'm Tyler.
Carrie.
And we are the Broken Clock Podcast, where we are guaranteed to be right at least twice a day. This is the Raw exclusive pay-per-view, Great Balls of Fire, which we can all agree is the dumbest name I think they've ever come up with.
I think we're extra salty because it was supposed to be in our hometown.
Yep, it was supposed to be Bad Blood at the Hartford Civic Center, the XL Center. But because of construction, I believe, they were like, nope, we're going to Dallas and we're naming it something stupid and Brock Lesnar's going to be there. And we all went, aww.
Yeah.
And they ended up coming up with a pretty good card,
yeah,
considering what a stupid name.
It's a surprisingly good-looking pay-per-view.
So we're extra salty about that.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot of fun. We probably would have gone, or at least tried to go. Who knows? Tickets and
some
whatnot.
Of us would have probably made it.
Yeah. And boy, does that suck.
Yeah.
But card looks good, and yeah. I guess that's what matters.
Let's focus on the positive.
Yes.
And that's we got probably a pretty decent show tonight. But there were a couple things we did want to talk about, just little things that happened in the wrestling world that were actually kind of cool. When that main one is that at the MSG house show this weekend, AJ Styles won the United States title off of Kevin Owens. As far as I know, like clean, no.
Yeah, clean, no 100% bullshit. In the middle of the ring. It was a phenomenal forearm, pin, 1, 2, 3. No shenanigans, no nothing. The crowd went nuts. I saw some videos of it, and they were absolutely loving it. And he just qualified for the title shot,
yeah,
like 3 days before on SmackDown because he won the Battle Royal. So that was super awesome.
I'm glad this AJ wins everything world.
I know.
I know you don't, but I'm all about it.
Well, I'm also happy that it happened this way because, like, I didn't want to wait to get all the way to Battleground for them to have the same match again. Now there's at least some different perspective, like a different stance for that match that's coming up.
Well, it makes me excited for SmackDown. Like, I want to see
the fallout.
What do we do now? The number one contender is the champ. So, like, what happens here? So, I thought it was cool. And anytime you find out about a title change that wasn't on TV, it's not something that happens often. And I thought it was cool.
Yeah, we were looking it up off the air too, like the last time it happened. And oddly enough, another show very close to us, it happened once before, last year with the Finn Balor losing the NXT title to Samoa Joe. But then before that, it was 2008 was the last time there was a real title change at a house show, because that kind of stuff doesn't really happen anymore with so much TV going on. So
yeah,
I thought that was really cool. It was clearly not a dig, but like in response to New Japan debuting a United States title, putting it on a Bullet Club guy. And then Vince was like, well, I'm not having that. I'll take your Kenny Omega and I'll raise you AJ Styles. And now everybody's talking about AJ Styles and the United States Championship, and they're not talking about New Japan's United States Championship anymore. So good on you, Vince, you sly dog.
You're still a bastard.
Well, yeah, but you know.
But a lovable bastard.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm not surprised to find women don't find Vince as appealing.
Oh, he is at the top of the shit list still.
Okay, so speaking of it, I actually want to ask, because the last time we saw you here on these airwaves, Carrie,
that's true,
you were very down at the Money in the Bank. How are you feeling about wrestling 3 weeks later? Because you were ready to throw in the towel.
I honestly debated skipping this pay-per-view and like going to spend some time with family, recouping.
Connect with your roots.
Connect with my roots.
Remember who you are.
And then I realized that they would also be watching wrestling.
Yeah, you can't escape it. It's a family business.
But
yeah.
I mean, even with the redo for the match, like the results were the same, which just kind of solidifies that like this is what was supposed to happen. You just decided to be a dick about it. And that stain will never wash away from my WWE tapestry.
Yeah, welcome to wrestling.
Fair enough.
We all got plenty of stains.
You're a true fan now.
You're not a
feels
real fan.
Feels bad.
Yeah.
Your heart.
Yeah.
Feels great, but also terrible and
you don't
dirty.
Love it until you hate it.
That's right.
Exactly. And then the other bit of news that is not nearly as cool is that Austin Aries has been future endeavored by the WWE, apparently, per his request.
Yep.
This was really... This came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I didn't see this coming at all. When I got that text, I was just like, wait, what? Why? What?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, and I'm not surprised that he wanted to go.
No. Makes sense to me.
But
how do you get fired at your request?
No,
you asked for a release.
Yeah, he wanted to be released
from
the
contract. You say, let me out of my contract. And he says, okay.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
And they don't have to say okay, but 9 times out of 10, they're going to. So All the reports I see say it's exactly what most of us were hypothesizing, that he did not want to be a cruiserweight, which
is fair,
which is totally fair. Mm-hmm. He was a world champion.
In yeah. But places. I just don't understand why they didn't go like, okay, we'll bump you up.
I know.
Like, why be like, I don't want to be a cruiserweight. Okay, leave.
Yeah. I don't understand what it was that they needed for him to prove. And so it makes me wonder. And I mean, I've heard, and I take it with a grain of salt, but you know, I've heard conflicting reports as to how cool he is backstage.
Yeah. I heard he was kind of a pain, which made it easier for them, but he was probably a pain because they were giving him a shit gimmick.
Yeah, they were giving him a shit gimmick, and they were, I mean, they were jobbing him at 3 pay-per-views in a row.
Like, yeah, he never wins.
Yeah. He won.
He won on TV all the time.
Yeah, he won on TV.
But never when it's important.
Exactly.
And, like, you got moved to the pre-show at WrestleMania, which, like, somebody's got to be on the pre-show. It's just a matter of having a pre-show, but, like, you move him to the pre-show, you make him lose. You then continue that feud for 2 more months, you make him lose, you make him lose. I'd probably want to leave, too.
Exactly.
Well, and there aren't enough. Like, there's one belt for all of the cruiserweights, and there are how many cruiserweights? Like, 5? 6?
No, it's like 15 at this point now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you just never see a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, if you don't watch 205 Live, you don't get all of them. So, like.
Oh, right. Yeah, because I don't care about that.
No,
yeah.
I don't watch 205
Live
either.
There's, like, the 4 or 5 guys that get to get bumped up to the main show, but there's a whole bunch of guys on the other show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they've let Neville have the belt for this entire time.
Yeah.
And that just, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. It's not interesting to watch. And I, as a result, don't care about it.
Yeah. I kind of really wish that they would just take the cruiserweight stuff off of the show and just regulate it like all the way to 205 Live.
See, I don't.
If you don't watch 205 Live, which I'm sure a lot of people don't, they're getting a quarter of a storyline like every week. And I'm sure they're like, yeah, we'll make it interesting, and they'll go and watch 205 Live. But
a
lot of people aren't doing that. And they're just going like,
it doesn't matter.
I'm sure they're just like, okay, these guys are doing their fucking thing. I don't care. Like, because I don't know half the story. Why is he mad at this guy? I don't care. Like,
well, they do a good enough job, I think, on Raw of recapping what you may have missed on 205 Live, which is good because, like, I don't think any of us watch 205 Live.
Nope.
Especially not with any regularity. Like, I've seen episodes here and there, and like, we went to SmackDown and we saw an episode of 205 Live, and it was pretty good, but not with any regularity. My problem with the cruiserweights is I want them to be integrated to the whole show. I hate that they're segmented to this specific, you know, section on Raw with their own ropes and the purple and all the bullshit, and that, like, a cruiserweight can't have a match with a regular guy. Like, why can't Jack Gallagher fight Seth Rollins if he wants to? Like,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, if Austin Aries was in the cruiserweight division, but then got to wrestle a regular person, like, he's like, all right, you know what? Forget Neville. I don't care about him anyway. I want the Intercontinental title. I want The Miz.
So this might be a kind of like a noob question, but isn't everyone under 205 pounds part of the cruiserweight division, technically?
You have to be under 205 to be a cruiserweight, but you don't have to. If you're under that, you don't have to be a cruiserweight. You can still be on the main show.
So why don't they just, like, kind of scrap the fact that it's a division, and then anybody who, like, is underneath that weight requirement can go after that belt?
That's what
it
should be.
Able to integrate the rest of the people into the main roster and not have it be like Tiny Man show.
Yeah, that's how it should be. Right now they treat the cruiserweights like they're women, where it's a separate division. Nobody can go near them.
How's that feel?
What?
How does that feel?
I don't like it. That's what I'm saying. I don't like that they're relegated.
I just wanted that to be out loud.
No. I've never
Adam's woke. Come on.
How dare you? You act like I'm Joe.
No. You guys are great, except for Joe.
It's all true.
But no, I don't like that they're treating it like a separate division. Like, you could always have, even when WWE used to have cruiserweights before, anybody that was a cruiserweight could go after the cruiserweight belt because they fit within that weight requirement. And then if you didn't want to, you could go, like, Rey Mysterio was both a cruiserweight champ and a world champ.
Yeah.
Like, it's possible. You can do it. Stop having the purple ropes in the separate segment. Have a 205 Live, have your cruiserweight segments on Raw, but then let cruiserweights go after other stuff. Like, you can't tell me Jack Gallagher doesn't want to
go be tag team. You know, like, why can't they compete for the tag belts?
It doesn't make any sense. Like, they should be able to, but They don't, and they're going to continue to lose superstars, I think, if they keep going down this road.
Yep.
Like, once Neville's not champion anymore, is he just going to sit by and do nothing or have side feuds? Like, no, he's going to want to be Intercontinental champ. Right. He's going to want to be a tag champ. He was on the show before.
He's not going to be strictly relegated to 205 Live, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, they need to rethink this whole cruiserweight division, and I hope that the silver lining of Austin Aries leaving, which, like, I know Tyler and I think Joe too are, like, sad about, because I like Austin Aries.
Mm-hmm. I like his facial hair.
See, there you go.
There you got something.
It's enough.
Well, and he was only given a couple segments, so you never really got to fully see Austin Aries.
I definitely think that the experience will be lessened by his absence.
Yeah. And you know he's going to go on some podcast and talk about, like, they need to rethink how they think about cruiserweights. And I hope that is what puts that on the road to the cruiserweights are here and they're a part of the show. Not they're here, but stay over there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, I think they're trying to make them their own separate brand, which kind of
doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Like, I mean, NXT it's not works. Working.
No. Yeah.
But I can see why they would want to, because they have NXT. They have the two Monday night, Tuesday night, and they want to have cruiserweights.
And they got the British one, right? Isn't that a separate show as well?
Not yet. I think it's going to be. And I'm sure when they said, hey, Austin, we want you to be on 205 Live in a cruiserweight because we want to get eyes on the show and on the division. The same way they put Sasha Banks on 205 Live and put her in the tag match. That's fine. But then to say, like, oh, but you have to stay there now. Like, this isn't just for ratings anymore. Now you're there. That's where the problem starts.
Like, yeah, I feel like there was probably a conversation where somebody was like, yeah, well, that's where you'll start off, but then, you know.
Yeah.
And when he started to realize, you're not ever going to do this.
And then you can have sandwiches again and play with the big boys.
Yeah, like, I think that he saw the opportunity, saw what was coming and was like, and then sees, well, you know, somebody like Cody Rhodes can go off and do it, and is like, I can also do that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot more fun.
So. I'm sure it's very much like Cody, where it's like, just do Stardust for a little bit, you work with your brother, it's fine. Oh, you're doing this forever.
Right.
Like, you're hit
this
now.
This is working.
Yeah, this is you.
So no matter what. What if you like it or not?
Yep.
This
is who you are now.
So it's a bummer that Austin Aries left, but I hope something good comes out of it, and that is the reworking of the cruiserweight division.
Well, let's use that to jump into tonight's card, and we'll start.
I think we should at least establish who has what belts so everyone understands.
He always does this. I try to skip over the fact that I don't want to acknowledge it.
I know.
He comes.
The people listening really should know who the champs are, as one champ in particular.
Okay.
Me, being the world heavyweight champ, I mean...
You're the smuggest.
Right? You ask why you we don't like you.
You gotta think of, you know, you gotta think of the listeners. They don't want to be left out of the loop. They're probably sitting there going, like, I don't know who has what belt. And they gotta know that Joe has the belt. that Joe has the best belt there is.
That's fine. You,
Joe. They're like, Blakesley who?
But we could have brought this up organically instead of being like, all right, everybody shut up, I'm the champ.
I just think everyone should shut up and know I'm the champ.
All right, fine.
He's
Joe.
Definitely our heel.
Clearly, Joe is the champ, which everybody loves and needs to know about.
Yes.
Tyler is the Intercontinental
You're
champion.
You're welcome, listeners.
Yep. Because he tied with Carrie, and Carrie was so fed up with wrestling, she didn't want it.
I rage quit.
Tyler is also the hardcore champion.
That's right. Got two shoulders, got two belts.
Skip is the hardcore champion.
Wait, what? No.
No, the NXT champion.
Yes, yes.
And then I am the Money in the Bank holder.
Yep.
So I'm coming for everyone who's ahead of me. Which could be anybody at this point. Like, I can't just look at one specific person. But I'm looking at you, Joe. Coming for it.
No,
coming
you know you title. Want the Intercontinental belt.
I love
you
can
leave my really
belt
sweet.
Alone. You gotta take life by the balls and cash in for the hardcore belt.
The great balls.
Take that NXT belt off of Skip. It's rusted away.
All right, so I have a request, and it is that we talk about balls as little as possible today.
That is going to be extremely difficult.
Yeah, we're going to talk about great balls.
Did you notice that they changed the logo, by the way?
Is it not a penis anymore?
Like, yeah, the shaft is now more in flames in both directions. So
it's a flaming penis.
Now it's a flaming penis,
yeah. I saw an article this week that was like, WWE names pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire for the exact reason you think, and it was just like, yeah, Vince finds it really, really funny. Like, I think Kurt Angle was on a podcast and he's like, yeah, no, Vince just thinks it's really, really funny that everyone's out here saying balls all the time. And
I'm
like,
not surprised in the slightest.
No. I did
all right, dance it again. Dance.
I did also see that a bunch of SmackDown superstars were really upset that they don't get to say balls on TV. So, like, Becky Lynch and a couple other people were like, I want to say balls on TV. Like, why can't I say balls? I want to say balls. So you see why we can't not say balls in a pay-per-view called Balls?
I don't.
Great balls of
yeah.
fire.
Yeah, we're going to giggle too when we say it, so just be prepared for that,
I
everyone.
I can't wait.
All right, I promise I will do my best. So on to Great Balls of Fire's yeah. card. We've got Neville versus Akira Tozawa with
Titus.
Thank you. Titus O'Neil in his corner as part of the Titus O'Neil brand for the Cruiserweight Championship. No gimmick on this match.
Titus brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Tozawa. So I'm this is one of those I'm going to pick with my heart and not with my head.
I think the Titus brand needs some prestige to it because Apollo Crews ain't giving it to him. And like, I kind of like that he's building a little stable of people that don't really like him, but yet they are succeeding at least a little bit. So I kind of want Tozawa to get this belt.
I feel about the Titus brand the same way I felt about the welcoming committee, where it was one of those things where, like, for a few weeks, you're like, this can't possibly be a real fucking thing. And then after a few more weeks, you're like, okay, we've been doing this for long enough. It's obviously a thing. So they're not just doing
it. Is
it
a thing anymore, though?
The Titus brand?
No, the welcome.
Oh, no, that's gone, kind of gone. Right? But it just recently, it ended at Money in the Bank, essentially.
Yeah, when they had to fight against each other.
Yeah. What do you got, Joe? Kerry?
I think the Titus brand, the kind of the gimmick of it is that it sucks and it doesn't win.
Like, not wrong.
No, but
the point is that Titus is supposed to be terrible at this and he just fucks everything up. So I can't picture him winning. Like, it kind of ruins the gimmick of him being a shitty manager. And yeah, I kind of like the idea, like, that's the gimmick, is he's just really bad at being a manager. You don't really get that. Like, you get the managers and they all play up their parts really well.
Right.
I like the idea that this one is like, fuck, he sucks at this.
Nobody wants
stuck with him.
Yeah, he's annoying. Everyone hates him, but he's always there for some reason.
It's like
reason.
The anti-Paul Heyman.
Yeah. That's exactly what he is. I can't picture them winning, but you're right. Like, I agree. I can picture Akira winning this,
right?
And then being like, you didn't do anything to help me. Go away.
Yeah,
like that's what I think is more.
That's the
happen.
Only thing that I think can happen. The only way that Akira wins is if he then turns around and is like, "Fuck you to Titus."
So are you? What are you picking? I was assuming you were doing Neville, but when you were saying what you were saying, but now you're wishy washy.
Well, that's the thing. I really could see it going either way.
This is actually a harder one to pick.
I feel like if they were going to take the belt off Neville, they would have given it to what's his face, facial hair,
Austin Aries,
the guy we just talked about for 10 minutes.
Hush. And if they're not gonna give it to that guy, I don't think that they're gonna give it to Tozawa.
That's fair.
So you're also going.
I mean, or that they were gonna give it to Tozawa and he's super pissed and that's why he left.
Oh,
he's
maybe
taking his ball and going home.
His great ball.
No. Wait, no.
You said ball first.
Yeah, you did.
Wait, so he's only talking about one
what's
ball.
What's your pick?
Neville.
All right. So, and you are?
I'm also going to go Neville. I don't want to go Neville.
It doesn't feel good, does it?
No, it feels
greasy, like his hair.
All right, well, before you guys throw up, I'll move on to the next match. Oh, wait, this one will make me throw up. So we have Cesaro and Sheamus versus the fucking Hardys for the 1,000th time.
Oh.
For the tag championships in a 30-man tag team Iron Man match.
30?
I mean 30-man, 30-minute.
Yeah.
In a 30-minute Iron Man match, also known as a match.
Yeah.
What fucking tag team championship match at a pay-per-view hasn't been almost or at least a half hour in the last fucking...
No, they're probably closer to 20 minutes. So this is going to go 10 minutes long.
I guess I'll give
and I think the cage off. Match was probably a half an hour. So like so it's not that far off.
I don't like this just because we've seen these two teams wrestle so much that like, what new content are you hoping to bring me by making me watch this for 30 whole minutes?
So
you're just telling me I have a guaranteed 30 minutes that I can take a nap.
Yes.
At least it's a gimmick.
Worth mentioning for the discussion and for fairness and whatnot, the word on the street is that the lawsuit is about to wrap and that the Hardys are going to win the broken gimmick.
See, I've heard the opposite, that it's actually nowhere near close.
Really?
Yeah. I heard that people were talking at the last TNA, or not, sorry, not TNA, Global Force Wrestling Impact TV. I know. That's a different, there's a whole different thing that we don't get into because, God, LOL, GFW. that they're nowhere close. So who knows? It's the internet. I'm sure both articles were like, this is what we've been hearing, unless it's different and it could change.
All right.
But I've been hearing for months that it's close and then also hearing that it's not. So I don't know. I hope it's close. I'd rather them do that than just be regular nostalgia gimmick again. And even though I love my Hardy Boys, I'm going Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah, I'm also going Cesaro and Sheamus. I don't think that... I think that and it, this was also my foundation for the last pay-per-view, but I feel like a loss is what triggers Broken. So I'm
going to
keep
eventually it's going to have to.
Joe, Carrie,
what is an Iron Man match?
It's
is that the whoever gets the most pins at the end?
Yeah,
but most decisions.
So most decisions. Missions, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pins, whatever.
Disqualifications. Okay.
That's what I thought. Yeah. But I would.
So there's technically no championship advantage here, unless they tie. But then there should be a sudden death.
Yeah, sudden death that you tie.
So yeah, pinfalls, submissions, countouts, disqualifications. I think that's it. Those are all the ways that you can win. So whoever has the most of those in 30 minutes.
It's not really a tough one. I just kind of don't care.
Yeah. Well, the tough part I hate about Iron Man matches, too, is that, like, you get falls that you would never get. So, like, 8 minutes.
It's like a best 2 out of 3 falls match. Same thing.
8 minutes in, we're going to get, like, a power bomb that's a pinfall. It's like, that would never fly, ever.
No, I hate it. In best 2 out of 3 pinfalls match, somebody always hits their finisher and gets a pin within, like, a minute and a half. Somebody who doesn't normally do that. Like, not a Randy or a Brock or whatever, you know? And you're just like... Really?
There's going to be a really lame count out where, like, oh, he's just about to climb in.
Oh, and, fell back, And then I like when announcers at least try and give that caveat that's like, well, he knows this isn't the end, so it's a chance to rest.
Yeah. But, like, still. Well, like, the thing I like about 2 out of 3 falls matches, and they don't do it a lot, and Iron Man matches for that point, is, like, you give up that one fall. Like, I think it was Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio had a 2 out of 3 where, like, Alberto Del Rio, a minute in, just went and got a chair and beat the shit out of Kalisto because they were out of the ring and the second match couldn't start. So he just beat the shit out of him with a chair for a while. And it's like, whatever, I took the one loss, but now I've beat the crap out of you. So that's going to give me the advantage.
That is
cool. I could see Cesaro and Sheamus doing something like that. Usually that then backfires, but you never know. They could snake one out in the end or something like that. So if they do stuff like that, I'm okay with this match.
So what do you got?
I
don't like the Hardys. I'm going
to have to go.
I like the Hardys.
I'm going to go Cesaro and Sheamus.
Is this a sweep?
Well, so far.
No, that's what Skip puts in. Skip, but.
Skippy!
All right.
That's a Skippy thing to do.
Dark Horse?
Just because.
Well.
It is. But it's also worked out for him in the past.
Yeah, it's true.
That is true.
All right. So up next, we have Miz versus Dean Ambrose, a match I know you've never seen before.
Never.
For the Intercontinental Championship, with the added flavor of the Miztourage,
which is a dumb name.
Which is a dumb name, but not as dumb as Bo Dallas's cool new, like, half rich heel, half, like, I don't know, Mexican gangster? Like, what's the bandana? What's the hairstyle? What's the beard? Like, it's so weird and
he's
confusing.
He's Bo Dallas.
Yeah, he's security for Leonard Skinner. That's what...
Like, I feel like that's either missing not the bandana or needs the button-down shirt that's unbuttoned except for up at the collar. Like, he's got to pick one of these two styles. Right now, he's just like a weird creator wrestler in, like, 2K18.
Yeah.
They just have no
It's like if Eddie Guerrero went corporate.
I mean, hey, he's on TV again.
That's true.
So there's that.
He gets to eat now.
I feel like Miztourage is too new of a thing to not be effective.
Yeah. They have to, in some way, interact with this match.
They're definitely going to be involved. But I also feel like Dean Ambrose hasn't won anything in a very long time.
I feel like they're biding time with him to give him a better feud. Like, I feel like he's going to have something big they're going to want to give him for SummerSlam that doesn't involve this title.
Yeah, they're like, well, we want to put him up against Samoa Joe, but right now we need Samoa Joe doing this, so let's just have him bide his time.
Yeah. You know they're going to work up to some sort of Shield reunion at some point, like, and they don't necessarily want the Intercontinental around that. So, plus, I want The Miz to carry it for a really long time. I think The Miz has done such good work over the last year and a half that to be rewarded with something like a really long Intercontinental streak is what I'm really hoping for. Because I think he wasn't the longest reigning Intercontinental champion of all time is like the Honky Tonk Man, and it's not that long of a record.
Yeah.
And I feel like
he got really close to it once.
And I feel like he needs to get there. Because I feel like that needs to be his legacy of he's the longest reign. Like he'll probably get to most amount. Like he'll probably tie Jericho or pass him for like 9, because I think he's at like 7 now.
Yeah, I think so.
But give him a long reign, give him the record for most, like Miz can be known as one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions when it's all said and done because he's worked his ass off to do it.
Well, because what happened at WrestleMania is not his legacy anymore. Like, you notice he doesn't even bring that up when he is in his, like, when he's yelling at LeVar Ball and, like, he's telling him, he's giving his reasons why he's great. It used to be the first thing out of Miz's mouth every time was, I beat John Cena at WrestleMania. Yeah. He doesn't even talk about it anymore.
It's he brought just it up about, in the Cena feud, but that makes sense.
But then, yeah, in the Cena feud. Yeah. But he also, but like now it's all about how he's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. So I think he's on the same page as what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going Miz on this. I just don't think Mizraj isn't a factor here that wins.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that if they're trying to break Maryse off a little bit, because there's the new power couple on SmackDown of the Kanellises, that maybe they don't want to have two power couples.
Kanelli.
Fair enough. So that could be a factor, but I'm still going with Miz.
Yep.
Do you guys have like the same?
So unfortunately, picks yes.
This
entire time?
At this point, I'm pretty sure everything you two have been completely agreed on.
We also all picked the same thing for the last match, and yeah. We've only had three matches in so far, Joe.
Still, I'm gonna. I guess I'm gonna dark horse it. I'm gonna go Dean.
Yeah, I mean, he could always win. I don't know that that's disqualification even, yeah. or.
I don't know that.
That's, I mean, I don't. Oh, I'm not completely just like crediting that he can win, but once again, I don't really care about this match.
Yeah.
I am changing my pick, actually.
You think a disqualification
thing is going to happen? I think it's disqualification. I think that's exactly what this is. Fresh-faced, new douchebag heel friends means they're just going to come in and hit him with chairs and save Miz instead of helping Miz win.
Mm.
Yeah, I am actually going to switch that up. But I it really could very much go either way. What are you feeling?
I'm going to go Miz.
It's funny because this is a thing that once upon a time would have been one of those, I got to pick Miz. And now I'm like, oh, man, I'm not going to pick Miz.
Now it's, I got to pick Dean.
Yeah, seriously.
Wrestling touched me in my no-mo parts, so, like, I feel like I'm a totally different person now.
No-mo?
My no-no.
Oh, I thought you said no-mo, too, and I was like, I'm not going to ask what that is because I feel like we're going down a different road.
But I think that he'll keep it so that the Kunellises,
yeah,
or whatever Kunelli? They are, the Kunellai. Yeah,
we established it as a Kunellai.
So that... I think that they'll face off against Miz and Maryse
at some point.
And like that'll, I mean, that'll seems be the like next, it has like, to be
yeah.
the general progression of things.
It really is.
It's the most reasonable. Itself.
Yeah, exactly. All right, up next is a feud no one wanted, but is so far actually a little bit better than I guess I expected it to be. And that is Enzo versus Big Cass.
So I actually want to ask you guys about this because I have been loving the split because I think his promos have been really, really good.
I have been very impressed with both of their promos, yes. to be honest with you.
I gotta admit, I did not watch Raw this week.
Yeah, you missed
that. Because I was house-sitting at my brother's. So what happened between them this week?
It was really just another shit talk.
Two promos. It was another shit talk promo from Enzo, where the best line of which was, "You're nothing more than a 7 foot tall catchphrase that I wrote." Ooh, and I was like, cool. "Damn, dude, that right. was good." Like I was sitting there in my room, just like, "Oh fuck, dude, that was good."
Yeah.
God
damn. And he also said, "I look forward to your buying your new shirt that just says Casshole."
And then they went to an interview with Cass in the back, where he was going to shit talk Enzo, and then Enzo jumped him from behind, and they like fought in the back. A little bit,
proving he'd been doing it the whole time.
Yeah, I knew it. I didn't like the reveal at first when they broke up, like the whole, like, it took us 3 weeks of a whodunit for Corey Graves to be like, I have security footage. It's yeah. like, where was that though? Like, wouldn't that be the first thing everyone asked for, is the security footage? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So that part of it was stupid.
And
but
why did Corey, why was he the only
I
one
still don't
it?
Understand why Corey was involved in that at
well,
all.
Well, like, he like got anonymous texts and stuff. So
is that I don't, what it was supposed
no,
to
no, I
well,
think the anonymous texts are something like, different.
Well, he was sitting there and he got like a phone, like a text on his phone. He that's like, looked at anyone like,
that's something different.
Yeah, that seems different. Because when he different? Showed that to Kurt, Kurt said, this could ruin me.
Yeah.
And we've never addressed that since. So, and Enzo and Cass splitting up does not ruin Kurt
yeah.
Angle.
Yeah, that's true. So there's some sort awful. Of anonymous person sending messages
I guess.
To Corey. Why yeah. Corey that Graves? Somehow affects what's
well,
going on.
You know what I think it is? I think it's Steph. I think it's Steph is doesn't like the job Kurt's doing or something like that. Because remember, Vince put Kurt in charge, not Steph, who's the runner of Raw. And she hasn't been seen since WrestleMania, and she's going to come back and be like, Kurt, what a terrible job you've done. But heel Corey Graves is my guy. Like, I'll send text message to him because I can trust him because he's sneaky and conniving just like me. So I think that has something to do with Kurt and Steph and some kind of maybe Triple H match or something. Like, who knows? But
Triple H versus Corey Graves.
Stay away from my girl. Yeah. No, I mean Triple H versus Angle.
No, I know.
Yeah. So that's probably Steph. Why. But yeah, like the whole reveal with the like Angle bringing Big Show and Revival down and then being like, I gotta ask, did you do it? Even though I know you didn't do it, but I gotta ask, did you do it? Okay, well, we're gonna get to the bottom of this. What about you guys? Did you do it? No, I know you didn't do it, but we're fine. I guess we're just out of answers. And Corey Graves is like, not so fast. It's like, what? This whole thing is a mess.
Yeah, why did Kurt bring these guys down if he knew they weren't the ones? Look,
like, we all know that it was Breezango that had been cracking this case this whole time.
That's true.
Working hard.
But I like the feud so far. I don't know what it means for either guy. Like, I mean, Cass did well in that period where Enzo was hurt and he was kind of thrust into the main event scene for the Universal title back in, what was it, August, September?
Yeah.
So, like, that was pretty good. And I'm afraid Enzo's just going to go to 205 Live and we're just going to get the, you know, his little things, but they're not going to be nearly as funny and he's just going to be fighting the cruiserweights and nobody really wants that.
Yeah, I don't see how Enzo comes out of this.
Well, and I feel kind of the opposite is I don't really know how Cass comes out of it because, yeah, during the period when Enzo was hurt, he was able to kind of make it work. But at the same time, he was making it work with their current gimmick. So yeah. That's gone.
It's true.
Yeah, he loses the gimmick. That's the thing.
But he has the number one gimmick you can have.
Be big?
Be big.
7 feet tall.
Be 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like, that is always a gimmick that works because a huge guy can take your belt. Like, that's just, it never fails. So they don't, I mean, Batista, prime example. That guy couldn't talk on the mic for, like, 20 years. Yeah. He has, what, like, 5 championships?
Probably.
Was one of their biggest dudes because he's big. Now, Batista's obviously a different kind of big, but, yeah. Like, it's still, that's, look at Brock. What they'll do is if he really flounders, they'll find him an advocate. They'll find someone else to do his talking for him, and he'll go back to just being a big enforcer.
It seems weird that that's what he's had.
I know. But he had
the face
version
team.
Of it. Yeah. He had the face version of being the big man. Now he's got the heel version of being a big man.
I can honestly see, too, depending on if we get another draft anytime soon or another shakeup, like, they could pair him with Carmella, and Carmella's the shit talker now for him, and he goes out there and destroys in a singles competition.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, Carmella's not bad on the mic. And,
oh,
I mean,
and then we could get the great, like, him showing up and beating the crap out of Elmsworth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's my girl.
Yeah.
Elmsworth.
I honestly didn't even notice.
Cass is going to land on his feet. Like, he's going to be fine because he's 7 feet tall. Yeah. Like, he may lose the crowds. Like, he may not get over ever again. But, like, Vince loves a guy who's 7 feet tall. He's going to be fine. I worry about Enzo because he was the more entertaining of that group. Like, whether you think he's a little shit or not, like, he was still the guy that made everybody laugh and the guy with the chant and the song and the whole thing. So I'm afraid he's going to get relegated to 205 Live regardless. And I'm not even sure how I'm going to pick this match yet.
I know.
Or you could put him with Show, and they could just keep doing the same thing, but with Show.
I guess. I don't think Show's going to be around week to week like that, though.
I think I'm going to go Big Cass, because if you have Enzo win here, it ruins Cass. It's over. Like, what did he even do?
You're setting
for?
Up Cass to be the bad guy, so he has to beat the crap out of him.
But, like, you can do a thing where, like, Enzo, maybe he's got a chance, but you can tell he hesitates because it's his friend, and Big Cass, because he doesn't care, takes advantage of it and takes his head off with a chair, and now it's over. So I got to go Big Cass on this one.
I am also going Large Castle.
Big Castle.
I'm going to go Enzo, I think. I feel like he's going to sneak one where, like, he gets not a roll-up, but, like, something silly where it's just, like, Cass then gets really pissed and, like, continues to kick the shit out of him on Raw or something like that. Like, you let Enzo sneak one now so it doesn't look like he's worthless.
Or you do the face, pull the tights. But yeah. It's like, but what was he going to do? Come on.
You know? Also, he's Enzo. Like,
right.
He's a face, exactly. But he's kind of a D-bag.
Yeah.
So it works.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Enzo because I see it as... It is going to be like Enzo has to prove that he can do it on his own without Cass, and he can be someone without Cass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you can just have Cass, like, beat the shit out of Enzo at the end, and then Cass still gets to be the bad guy,
right.
The tough bad guy, but Enzo gets to prove that he's not a nobody without Cass.
No, yeah. That's valid too.
Because I don't know where you go with him if he loses outright.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Each of these guys have everything to lose for losing.
kind of, well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like Cass could rebound better with a loss than Enzo could. Because, like, if Enzo loses, it's like, okay, well, clearly it was Cass the whole time. You suck. We don't like you. Go away. But also, you sell a ton of merch, so you're not going to go away, but now we don't like you. Where Cass could be like, well, you're a dick. You got what was coming to you. But now when you fight against somebody else, we'll probably like you because whatever, you're fine.
Well, and keep in mind, too, Enzo sells merch like Zack Ryder sold merch. You know what was cool about Zack Ryder merch? It sold even when you didn't put him on TV. Like, people just like
people to spend, just like to have people the spend hair 15 in the audience. Bucks on
stupid hair and like ridiculous shit. So, and people like shirts say certified G, you know, like it's
yeah, it's fair.
It could be your shirt, you know. So, all right, so on to a rare instance, a grudge match I'm actually kind of excited for, and that is Rollins versus Bray Wyatt. I feel like that's not, I don't think it's never happened, but I feel like it's only happened like once.
I don't think it's ever happened because they both would have been heels until very recently.
I guess that's true. But either way, I'm particularly looking forward to it. There's not a whole lot of story behind it, I feel. This isn't really a well-developed feud.
No.
But I think they're resting on the fact that it's, hey, it's never before seen or whatever.
Yeah,
or
and it's Bray, it. And you like Bray, and Seth, and you like Seth, so here you go.
Well, I mean, I like one of those, but...
Yeah, no, like, the overall WWE...
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
The overall WWE universe likes Bray. Like,
true.
Not necessarily people at this table, because I do not like Bray.
But I'm going to go Rollins on this, only because I feel like Rollins hasn't really gotten a big pay-per-view win in a while.
That's true. I'm trying to think
and also Bray never wins.
And also Bray never wins a pay-per-view. Yeah. I mean, I have a pretty consistent legacy of not picking Bray, except when he won his belt, so...
Yeah.
I'm also going Kingslayer. I love that shirt. I actually want one.
The Kingslayer one. It's
a very cool shirt. Yeah.
I'm super
on it.
I can't remember any buildup of this match. Like, what is the point of this match? Why is it a?
It just kind of spun out of them being in their like in the five way
or the number one contender.
I think one of them maybe eliminated the other one.
Probably.
Or was it elimination? Maybe it wasn't elimination.
No, it wasn't. Joe just won outright because he made Balor fall asleep.
Oh yeah, that's right. I think it was sleepy times.
Yeah.
So this happened on Raw.
Oh, this has been happening. No, the remember the last pay-per-view they had the Fatal Five, the Extreme Rules Fatal Five Way for the first time ever.
Yes, history.
Fatal Five Way.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think they were fighting with each other during that. And the basic story is Bray is spooky and Seth wants to not like that. So there you go.
I don't like your spookiness.
Yeah.
Stop being so spooky. I'm afraid of the dark.
Yeah. There you go. That's the story.
I don't like coming to work because you're all creepy in the back.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt did spooky stuff. Seth Rollins wasn't having it. Feud.
Stop playing with worms.
Seth wakes up in his trailer and he just sees Bray staring through, like, peeking over the window at him.
He's like, Bray, the buzzards. Bray, stop that.
Get out of here. I hate
waking up to your face every morning.
So what do you got, gentlemen?
I'm going to go Rollins as well. Bray sucks.
Oh, wait. That's not you.
Like, I could see shenanigans and Bray pulling it out, but I can't bring myself to pick him.
I can't picture. Once again, Bray loses a lot, and it doesn't really seem to hurt him when he loses, but no. I feel like Seth can't lose this match, so I'm going to have to go Seth also.
I had really thought WWE had turned a corner when they gave the title to Bray, and I thought he was going to have it for a little while, and I really thought that, like, all right, he's going to win more than he loses, and just loses. Yeah.
Even in his own thing.
Yeah.
His own House of Horrors match.
Yeah.
So stupid.
That was the dumbest, but it was also the greatest.
Yeah, agreed.
The greatest dumb thing that was ever dumb and great. Moving on.
Next up, we've got the Women's Championship. Alexa Bliss, the champ, versus Sasha Banks. Back in relevancy once again. Happy to see her there.
I would care about this match a lot more if they didn't just set it up 2 weeks ago.
I know. That does hurt it. Which makes me, I mean, I'm picking Bliss for this because I don't think she's losing to a feud that just freaking started.
No. No, I'm the same way because I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss as well. But just like... I really would have liked to see all the trash talking between Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss because they're both really good at it and they haven't really gotten the chance to do that.
Although, you know, thinking as I said that out loud, I am thinking about it too. I also could see this being a feud where the belt moves back and forth.
Yeah.
So like the start of the shit talk is like, who is this? I don't even know who you are. Oh shit, you just took my belt. You know, so I'm actually kind of wishy-washy in my head about it right now.
My other thing is Sasha doesn't win on pay-per-views unless they're like dumb. Like she doesn't win women's title matches on pay-per-views.
That's true.
That's why I'm going with Alexa.
Hmm. I do not know who's going to win this.
There's not a lot of
Did somebody get hurt or something? Why did this? You're right that this came out of nowhere.
Well, they had to,
and it felt like they're like, shit, we had something planned, but something fucked up, and now we just had to throw a feud together for this pay per view.
No, they just came up with the idea to do that gauntlet match, which was a pretty good gauntlet match. Like, yeah. It made Nia Jax look strong and then made Sasha Banks look good because she just outlasted the person that had been in there the whole time.
You already gone through four people.
Yeah. So that accomplished a lot of things to set up really cool storylines going forward. But see, now I'm thinking, because the other thing, I don't think you can have Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax, Nia Jax has to get a shot sooner rather than later. And I don't think you can conceivably have that match because Nia would destroy her.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you do. You do, like, and they kind of built up to the whole thing with her, like, befriending Nia, but, like, only because she promised her a chance for the belt. I feel like she has to have the belt to fight Nia. Like, that was a match that they set up that has to happen at some point.
I know, but eventually I feel like you can't conceivably put on a match where Nia Jax goes against Alexa Bliss without Nia just destroying her, and then Alexa, like, looks like nothing and goes away. Whereas, like, a Sasha could put on a good match because that makes a little bit more sense, even though she's not as big. Nobody's as big as Nia, but, like,
I don't know. No, you know what? I am going to stick with Bliss, and I think that's... I'll tell you my reason why. I think tonight's match ends with Nia getting involved and sets up a triple threat.
Okay. At SummerSlam? Because SummerSlam's next for Raw.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Sasha. I think it's going to be, like you said, I think it's going to be Sasha takes it from her, and then Alexa's going to take it back, and then she's going to beat her again, and then it goes on. Like,
kind of like Charlotte and Sasha, where the belt really kind of moved back and forth.
Yeah.
Which I wish they did more of. But, I mean, we should just be happy that champ's even on the program every week. So.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. What do you got?
I don't know. I want them both to win. Can't they share?
No, there's no co-champions.
They could both fit in that belt.
They probably could.
They could make a women's intercontinental belt.
Right? At this point, I'm starting to think they should.
Yeah.
If this was one show, I think there would be one. But the fact that it's a brand split,
I am going to go Alexa.
Alrighty.
Because I don't quite think that Sasha's been relevant enough to have the title right now.
She hasn't been relevant for a while.
No.
I mean, they had her
on 205
Live.
Right. Like, super recently. But she's also
Sasha Banks, and she doesn't need to be, like, she's one of those people that as soon as you put her in something meaningful, she's meaningful again.
Yeah. Oh,
like, absolutely. She doesn't need a build up to get you back to fall in love with her.
Right.
You just loved her the whole time, even though she was on 205 Live.
Right.
All right. Next is... match I know we're all excited for. Roman versus Braun in an I'm not finished with you. I mean, in an ambulance match.
I mean, are any of us picking Roman? Because
you said that sarcastically. Are you not looking forward to this match?
I was actually being serious. Oh, okay. No, I wasn't being
You're
sarcastic.
Like, it's something we're all looking forward to.
Super fucking looking forward to this.
Good. Because it's going to be awesome. Feud.
I love Braun Strowman. Braun is probably one of my top three guys right now.
Yeah. It's and it's something where, like, it should have been at Extreme Rules, but then he got hurt.
Yeah.
So, like, this is the logical... conclusion of this feud, and I'm excited.
Did he actually, do we know, was he actually hurt, or was that...
He was actually hurt, but they lied about how serious it was.
Okay, because they were like, he's going to be gone for 6 months. Oh my God, he's back after two. I just kind of pictured that being like, he had to go away for 2 months, and they were just like, let's just say he's hurt, and he's hurt for 6 months, but then he comes back after two, and he looks really strong, because they're like, oh my God, he got healed so fast.
Yeah, when he got hurt, everything I saw said, it looks like it's a 1 to 2 month injury. They're penciling him in for Great Balls of Fire, but he may not make it to that. They have contingency plans just in case. And then they're like, okay, it looks like he's going to make it. Here's the match.
The contingency plan was just an envelope that said, Roman beats someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone else. I'm going full Homer on this pick for this. I'm going Braun. I feel like...
Yeah, I'm not finished.
Isn't this his match now, technically? Isn't this his gimmick?
Okay, I can't picture Braun losing this. But it's fucking Roman.
Yep.
There is that.
And it's, no matter how much it makes me angry, he's going to win this.
So is
that your guy?
Because he's fucking Roman.
I have two.
And I want Braun to win it so bad because I just want Braun to beat the crap out of him.
Yep.
Is this what, like, early John Cena was, where you were just like, you didn't want him to win, but you were just like, well, he's going to win because he's John Cena.
Yeah.
No, it was middle. Early John Cena lost some. Middle, like, the majority middle of John Cena, up until Brock squashed him a couple years ago, was this, where it's LOL, Cena wins. Like, it doesn't matter. Cena's just going to win. He's going to get his ass kicked because for most of it.
Because he's Cena.
Then he's going to Cena up or Hulk up or whatever you want to call it, and then he's going to win. Like, that's just how it was.
Yeah, we spent 10 years calling him Superman. Superman always wins. Like, it was. It's just, you always knew. Once he got involved in that title feud, that's where it was going. And then he would hold it for months and beat everyone you can. Yeah.
Like,
and
he may not win all of the matches, but if it's a best 2 out of 3 where 3 pay-per-views in a row, he's winning 2 of them.
Yeah.
Like, he may not win the first one, but he's going to win the next 2. Gotcha. And then you're gone.
And they want Roman to be that guy. Like, that's Roman. The plan right now is for Roman to be the next John Cena.
Yeah.
Yay.
Because he garners a reaction. Isn't that great? Regardless of whether it is.
He gets the reaction that Cena's been getting for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Everywhere else,
the crowd hates
him
and half the crowd loves him. The kids love him.
Well,
the kids
want
the stuff.
When they go, and all they care about right now seems to be global, and every other country in the world that they go to, Roman is so over that, like, the building shakes. Like, in Japan, they were saying that they've never heard anything like it. They love him in Japan. It's so weird. But
you think they love Braun more? Because, like, the Japanese are like, they love Brock Lesnar. They love Godzilla, the big scary dudes. Yeah.
He's Godzilla.
Yeah.
it's true. Wow. These are human kaijus.
He just shows up and breaks shit.
It's, to be fair.
Yeah. Not wrong.
Yeah, he's
he
not
also
wrong.
Has a breath weapon.
It's bad breath. That's the weapon.
And a tail.
His ponytail. See, I'm of the mind where I think if what he said is to be true, then Roman's facing the winner of Joe and Lesnar at SummerSlam, and he's not losing the feud and then getting a title shot at SummerSlam. Or it could just be he said that, then Braun said, I'm not finished with you, it's my shot now, and then he fights whoever the winner is.
Remember,
tonight.
We're going off the concept that no one was expecting Braun to be here for this, at least like work-wise.
For like kayfabe.
Yeah, kayfabe-wise.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be thinking like no one was expecting Braun to show up, but oh my God, here he is now.
Yeah. I'm going Roman. I think they are going to have Roman fight the winner of Joe and Lesnar at SummerSlam, and therefore he needs to win this match to be able to conceivably make that claim to that title shot at SummerSlam.
Joe, were you also picking Roman?
Oh, my God. I hate this. I hate this so much because I know how it's going to happen, but I don't want it to happen when I know how it's going to happen.
I know I'm making a bad pick, but I don't care.
Yeah, you'd rather be wrong and have the conscience say that I made the right decision.
I'd rather do, it's the same concept with a lot of other picks that I do. I'd rather, if Braun does win tonight, I don't want to be looking at my Roman pick going, God fucking damn it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm feeling that exact same thing. Like, if Braun wins, I'm going to be so mad.
I mean, Roman is so bad that Skippy has literally skipped a pick before because he just refused to say he was winning.
Yeah.
So
I'm going with Braun.
There you go. Team Braun.
I like it.
Joe LeBron.
Joe's not finished with you. What do you got?
See, I already told you.
Oh, I didn't hear what you said.
I told you I was not finished with you.
Wow. Roman is a dark horse.
Yeah.
Unless Skip picks Roman.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I can't lose
because if Roman loses, then Braun wins and I'm happy because Roman lost. Right? Like, in general fandom, sure. I'll take it.
That does make sense.
Yeah. So, and if he wins, then fine. It's whatever.
Hedge your bets.
There you go.
It's entirely possible I will change my pick by the time that match comes.
Up until the point you see something you couldn't see, that's valid. All right. And finally, Universal Championship match, Joe versus Brock, which I am very excited for.
I really hope this match is
going to be so good.
We haven't seen a Brock Lesnar
match.
I
just think it's going to be a fight.
No, yeah, this is going to be brutal. Yeah. Like, this has to be brutal. The way that they have been building this match up.
Yeah.
I'm Joe expecting looks so to see strong. A ton of fucking blood.
Yeah. Well,
even on a pay per view, like,
I don't know that you'll see that. I think this is going to be quick.
I don't think so.
I don't want it to be quick. I feel like this is going to go a little bit longer because we've just been getting quick Brock Lesnar matches. The last 3 matches, 4. What'd he do? He had 3 Goldberg matches. All were quick, or 2.
Two were. When the third one wasn't long. It was just longer than 2 minutes or whatever.
So a bunch of super quick ones. He had the Orton, I just kicked the shit out of you and made you bleed one. That was really short. Like, we haven't had a longer. I think the longest one we've had recently was the Asylum match or whatever. Like, whatever one he had with Dean at WrestleMania that was garbage. that was the longest one he's had in a while, and I feel like we're due for a good, and Joe can go.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. that's the thing. He can go and make this an exciting match, so I'm actually really looking forward to this one, but I still think Brock's going to come out on top in the end. Like, Joe's, they've been building up Joe to look so strong that he can now survive a loss.
Yeah.
And he's going to put up a fight.
I'm expecting this to be a really, really brutal fight. Yeah. They're just going to be wailing on each other. And it's exactly like you said. I think Brock is going to win. Put me down for Brock wins. But he's going to Brock and Joe are going to...
Bro, yep.
Yeah, bro. They're going to fucking...
Suddenly
they're
going to
wail
this.
On each other so hard that, like, no matter who loses, they still look tough in the end.
Yeah, both guys are going to come out looking squeaky clean.
So this is going to be Brock versus Roman?
That's the that to me has been the plan since Brock won the Universal title at WrestleMania, is that no matter when we do it, whether it's SummerSlam or WrestleMania, you're doing the 2-23-2. Like, the two guys that have beaten The Undertaker at WrestleMania are going to fight each other for a belt.
Oh, shit.
That's like...
I
agree with that logic, and I think that is exactly why it has to happen at WrestleMania. That's the promo package for it. Is two men who slaughtered the beast at WrestleMania face each other.
Absolutely. Which means there's no way that Brock's losing this belt tonight.
Or
in the next year?
I disagree. I think that Joe wins it. So we have.
I mean, Brock could totally win it back at some other point.
I think Brock wins it back at SummerSlam. I think Joe wins it tonight so that we have the belt on TV for all of the weeks coming up to SummerSlam, where we're also talking about Brock versus Joe, the rematch.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Hey, if that happens, I'd be 100% okay with it.
Me too, because I feel like Joe has earned a championship. Like, he earned the right to do this.
His promo where he walked up to Heyman and whispered in his ear, "I'm going to fucking kill you." Like, that was scary, and it was great. When he choked out Brock on the stage, that was great too. Like, everything's
purple.
Everything he's done so far in this feud has been great, and I want to see him rewarded. I just don't think they're going to pull that trigger because Brock is such an attraction.
Yeah.
You were going to say something, Joe?
No, I totally agree with what Tyler was saying. I'm not changing my...
Right, I get what you're saying.
I totally understand
where I'm coming from.
You're coming from. That you need to have the belt on the show to build up to SummerSlam because you just can't keep having Brock show up every other month.
No, you can't have the belt practically off TV for an entire year.
Especially building up to SummerSlam.
Right.
But I mean, there was also a point in life where I would have said, you can't have a champion who only shows up 4 times a year. You know, and here we are. So
we are pretty much every year.
I think that if I had to put percentages on these, I think it's 70-30 Brock Joe. But I'm going to roll my dice on that 30 because I think it really could work. And maybe there's some shenanigans to it, you know, like, or it's he chokes him until he falls asleep. And so it's sort of like, or maybe Joe attacks, because Joe's kind of heelish in the suit. This is two heels.
Yeah.
So like maybe he attacks him in the back first, you know, and it's just like, it's another reason for me to come out and say you're not Samoan, you know, like whatever. Yeah. But I do feel like it's Joe's night.
I don't. A
lot of take in. A lot of variables in this match.
I mean, Brock is just the kind of guy that they never take the belt from once they give it to him. Like, they're
unless
so.
It's for some equally ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. Like, they're so reluctant to have anyone beat him.
Because he's got to look strong.
Right.
Technically, he never even. To look strong.
Technically, he never even lost the last title he had. Because he got cashed in on Money in the Bank and he pinned Seth pinned Roman at 31.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, technically, Brock never even lost the last title he had.
Yeah. That's true. Well, but he did lose it to Goldberg.
Yeah.
No, he didn't have the belt when he lost to Goldberg. Like, in terms of losing championships, she's saying.
Goldberg lost the belt to Brock. Him. That's where the belt came into that feud. That's right. Never mind. I forgot about that. He took it from Kevin. I forgot.
Yep.
I am so going to go. Bra-Joe.
Bro? Bra-Joe.
Good old Bra-Joe.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Brock.
Brock? Can you say it to the people at home? Can you hear?
I think she did. But you guys gotta turn it up in the headphones.
I'm gonna go Brock.
All right. Brock it is.
But I might change
that. Did that even register in the waves on the thing? All right, fair enough.
And that's it.
That's the card.
That's the card.
So that'll do it for part one. We'll come back in a few hours with part two, potentially, and we'll wrap everything up where hopefully Joe is not a champion. Yay!
Yay! Blake, Lee sucks. Blake. likes.
God
he
damn sucks. It.
The best is that, like, the last couple of part ones for every pay-per-view that Joe has won always ends with a Blakesley sucks chant. Yeah, so why is this anything different?
Keep it up.
Blakesley sucks. Blakes.
I feed off of the power.
Blakes sucks.
Ew, I can feel him feeding.
It's just going to make the salt more delicious.
Soggy.
All right, bye, guys.
Oh, man.
Well, the champ is here, so you're welcome.
Yeah, it's not Joe. Welcome back,
yeah,
everybody.
It's not Joe. God damn it.
We are back after witnessing WWE's first ever Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view, which it always bugged me in the lead-up to it how Michael Cole said Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view as if, like...
it might be a different Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Really, if he started saying, like, Great Balls of Fire 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he could, and still, that would seem less weird than Great Balls of Fire. It's all going down Sunday at Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. Like, he went
robotic.
Tune
into the biggest show of the year, WrestleMania pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make sense.
Can you call something the first annual if it's the first one?
If you plan to have it annually, yes.
Yeah, but I don't think you can actually call it that until the second one actually happens.
You totes can. Well,
no, you 100% can. If it's an annual of you're starting
it's not annual,
year,
but until
that's how you're
time.
Announcing
you
that it's annual.
You can't guarantee that it'll happen the next time, though.
I've been to events that have announced themselves as annual.
That doesn't sound
first
right to me.
I'm pretty sure Firefly was the first annual Firefly, and that's never happening again.
Yeah.
So there you go. Nailed it. But anyway, we have just come back from watching the first annual Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view, and we walked away with a new champion that was not Joe.
Is it me? Is it me?
It is. It is Carrie. Congratulations.
Thank
How
you.
Does it feel?
I hate it all of this.
It doesn't fill the void in my soul that wrestling has left there, but it'll be a start.
Yeah. It's like the beginning of a charity run. You just have the little bit colored in at the bottom of your soul. We're going to get there. We're going to get all $100,000 of your soul.
This is the true darkest day of wrestling.
We're living in the greatest timeline. Joe is not the champion. Skip is the Intercontinental Champion. The Hardcore Champion is vacant because we had a special guest sitting in who won it, our friend John. And then he went away again. So he doesn't necessarily make it to every pay-per-view. So he actually walked out with the Intercontinental and then immediately vacated.
No,
Hardcore.
Hardcore.
And the Participation Award.
That's right. No, Tyler got...
No,
well, yeah.
Well, he won the
he
Participation Award,
yeah.
But it was vacated to the next person after
Which
him.
Which was Tyler. Because he only had two correct.
Wait. No, then it just means it's vacant. It doesn't mean it goes to me. I didn't get his Hardcore belt.
Oh, that's true. So, yeah.
So
that's vacant, too.
So I didn't get it. Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. So the Participation Award and the Hardcore belt are
now
vacated.
You get nothing.
Right now.
Yeah. I'd rather have nothing than the fucking Participation Award.
I know. It really is kind of like the salt in the wound of, like, sucking.
So Joe walked away with nothing. I am still your Money in the Bank winner, as God I was not close enough for cash in this evening. But we did just witness what was a pretty good show.
Yeah. No, it was a really good card, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, we said it before, like, at the start of it.
But we've definitely had podcasts where we said, looks like a great card came up. Thinking, well, that's over with.
Well,
yeah, but we've also had ones where we were like, that looks like a shit pay-per-view. And then it was a shit pay-per-view.
That was actually my favorite, to be honest.
No, usually it's shit pay-per-views. You guys are like, well, that was better than I thought.
No, that's what he's saying.
Like,
I was saying we get shit pay-per-views, and then we get shit pay-per-views.
Right.
That happens, too. But yeah, I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, I think
we had a good time.
Yeah, there was a couple like matches that didn't perform necessarily as well as we thought, but I think they all like were pretty good.
The matches were good. I think some of the endings were weak.
Yeah,
that's where I think there were a few issues.
Yeah, and we'll get into it now. So we'll just run down the card as we had it on our sheet. So not necessarily in the order that the show happened, but the first one is because it was the pre-show match for the Cruiserweight title. It was Neville versus Akira Tozawa. Neville walked away champion again through some shenanigans, so clearly that feud's not done.
Big surprise.
I know. It was a good match, though. I thought the Tozawa did a really good job on his first big stage match, so I thought that was good. And Neville just did his normal amount of good.
Neville's always fun to watch.
Yeah,
I thought Tozawa was more like Shinsuke in that he can speak the language, but like it is like very different. But he actually is.
No, he speaks fine.
Yeah, he speaks fine. So I was I never really got a chance to hear it. I think so.
Yeah,
he's usually just shouting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and now he's using Titus O'Neil as the mouthpiece, kind of. So that didn't work in his favor as. Some had predicted.
Well, I think everything else he's done, people were just talking at him.
Yeah.
You know, and now this was the first time he's been able to interact.
So not much really to say about the pre-show Cruiserweight match, other than it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
You know, so not too bad there. The next one that we had written down on the sheet was Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Hardys in a 30-minute Iron Man tag team match, which I thought was pretty good.
No, yeah, this one definitely it got like better as it went on.
Yeah,
because it started getting down to the wire and stuff, and then. Well, there was a
bleeding
lot
all over.
Matt,
the
yeah.
Oh my god.
Half Matt of Matt Hardy's face got ripped off.
So well, and it's funny because exactly what you said was going to happen, Tyler, happened where within the first like 30 seconds there was already a pin.
Yeah.
And then it was of course pretty neck and neck until the very end, and ended with the Hardy being on like the two count.
Yeah.
And the time ran out.
Get the tie.
Ran out on the two, and he was going to tie it if he had one more second.
But oh no.
Which we had talked about, Tony Hawk ruling it, where like if you're in the middle of a pin, the pin should be allowed to continue until kick out or three count, even if the timer runs out, because like you're in the pinning motion, like they should have to kick out of that.
You're in the process of pinning.
I disagree. Yeah. I think if you couldn't get it done in the time, you couldn't get it done.
That's
in the
true.
Time.
That's well, it works either it way. Works, but, yeah, like no, it would be cool. Way,
yeah. It works better in your way, Tyler, because it creates a lot more drama.
Yeah.
But logistically, I think it would be. Like, if this was real, you know,
right.
Wait, what do you
it
mean?
Would go that way.
Yeah. Whoa. How dare you? But yeah. The sad thing about this match, though, is it looks like the feud's continuing. Because, right. Like, the Hardys were so close, they're going to demand some kind of something or other.
I mean, you knew it was going to.
I thought this was going to, because this was, what, the third match between them? Like, I thought this was going to be, like, this is the blow-off match, this is another gimmick,
no.
This one's over.
No.
And then SummerSlam, we give them a bigger opponent and give, no. You know...
Cesaro
well.
And Sheamus did do the fusion dance when they came out, though. That was pretty sweet.
That's their thing.
They're doing that now.
Yeah.
They seem to have like a new entrance gimmick every...
Yeah.
They're like, still trying to figure
two or
it
three
out.
Months.
I mean,
well,
they were both
the
solos.
They're the bar. They just got to keep setting
so
it.
They're having fucking fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think it's all it comes down to.
Like, they got rid of the tearaway clothes.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm very upset about that,
and then they started
doing
like, the back-to-back thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was like another gimmick kind of that they had.
Well, and then they started the kilts.
Yep.
Oh yeah, they had the kilts.
And like the half tear off suit.
Yeah.
And
now they're doing the fusion dance.
I'm almost surprised they haven't gotten their own music. Like, it's still just half Cesaro, half Sheamus.
Yeah,
like,
it's Sheamus or Cesaro's alarm going off, and then yeah. Sheamus' music kicking in.
Yeah,
until they become the somethings. And
that's
are,
true.
And,
yeah,
and that's
the
not
fact that they're
happen,
yeah
so.
Still just Cesaro and Sheamus.
That's true. But yeah, everybody picked that match except for John. It was one of his many, many losses. But yeah, everybody had pretty much picked that one. And we realized a couple matches and we forgot to do points. But it ended up working out where all of the point values were pretty obvious. So it didn't matter that
yep.
Some of them we had to pick after that already happened. The next match on the card was The Miz and Dean Ambrose, which Bo Dallas looks like the biggest idiot in the entire world.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's weird, so weird because they don't match in any way.
I know.
No.
When it's
like,
not consistent.
Curtis Axel comes out like
in a suit.
In a suit.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
with
and Bo Dallas looks like high fashion homeless.
Yep.
Yeah.
Derelict.
Yeah. Yeah. Derelict.
Derelict, my great balls.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's in a. Bo Dallas looks like an idiot. Curtis Axel's in a suit. And Miz and Maurice are in like flashy, futuristic Dragon Ball robes.
Yeah. I was expecting something to happen because Maurice was like in her ring gear.
Yeah.
Which was really weird.
She's kind of been doing that lately, though.
At pay-per-view, she comes out in more ring gear looking stuff, or like, you know, like leather things, but not like dresses or anything.
Yeah, that's like stuff that kind of complements Miz's ring gear. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, she was straight up wearing ring gear. Like, I was expecting something to happen in her getting into the match, or like.
She did get involved a little bit.
Someone
she
else
pulled
coming
them out.
Out.
And put yeah. feet on ropes and stuff. So she got involved. So she had to be like moving around in the apron at the very least. So maybe that's why.
What's Ambrose's. Girlfriend, the
Renee Young,
yeah,
wife.
Like Renee. They got married. That's yeah. right. Yeah, like I was expecting like Renee to come out or something like that.
Also in ring gear for whatever
yeah.
reason.
Yeah,
I have to interview. I have to do this interview in ring gear, please.
Oh no! Now the match started.
Oh my God, she attacked me. Good thing I happened to do this one in ring gear.
Yeah, because it seemed weird that Maurice was in ring gear for some reason.
Yeah. But the Miztourage got involved, Maurice got involved, and the Miz retained. I liked the way the Miztourage got involved, though, where it wasn't like they got beat up too, but it also wasn't just like constant sneakery. There was like more fighting elements to it. And then Maurice, obviously, with, you know,
point. I always believe
you lost because of the minions because you were too busy beating them up.
Yeah.
Over, like, you know, like, when Randy Orton loses because he was beating the shit out of the minions,
yeah,
that's one thing. If like, they came in and were beating the shit out of him, and that's how I'd be like, I don't buy this. Yeah. Nope. So, I like that better, too.
I like it when they distract the faces rather than...
How come Tyler doesn't get in trouble for saying minions? But it's not racist. For everything.
They're minions who are Indian.
Yeah. It is a little racist. I always thought
mini-Indians.
No, oh. No, it's minions. It's like minions, but Indians combined.
Yeah. Oh,
they're not. They are actually they are also
smaller
mini.
Than.
I don't genders. Really think they're that small. I think they're just standing next to Jinder freaking Mahal and Randy freaking Orton. But
they just look small compared to the modern day Maharaja because he's the biggest there is.
Huge.
He's a god. But anyway, yeah, the Miz versus Dean Ambrose was good. They both got in pretty good offense. Miz retains his Intercontinental Championship. Next on this, we have a thing I can't read. Oh, Enzo and Big Cass, which was a squash.
Yeah,
like, there was no
squash. super lame.
Yeah, no two ways about it. Cass just kicked the shit out of Enzo for like five, 6 minutes.
It was obvious that it was going to happen, but I was still. I expected Enzo to put up some sort of fight.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously.
His heart, I think that went better with it. Was that like his heart kind of wasn't in it?
His heart was broken.
He wasn't really in there to, you know, to fight him. And
he's still holding out hope that
he
it was
just wanted.
End
he just wanted to face his friend. You
yeah.
know.
So I think it worked for the storyline. Like I'm glad Cass had his own music. It was pretty shitty.
Pretty.
He was straight up like that was all. Jobber shit, like
yeah, it was jobber music,
jobber entrance
shirt,
screen.
Jobber, yep, jobber entrance, just the one hand up,
yeah,
like, yeah, you're
it
not
just
wrong,
said, just
dude,
said
not
big
at all.
Cass on the screen,
yeah,
like I saw that and I was like, ooh, this does not, like,
yeah,
if this is the amount of effort they're putting into Big Cass's solo run.
I mean, his account just got hacked. Everything that gave him identity, except for like his height and his past, are gone.
Yeah,
it's true.
So he's got to start from scratch, and if he doesn't make himself interesting, then...
Yeah, I hope they're just hoping something comes up gimmick-wise that they can give to him, and this is just a placeholder, like, entrance and stuff.
My problem, he reminds me too much of Mike Awesome, and, like, everything normal wrestling federation, like, doesn't know what to do with a guy like Mike Awesome. Like, WWE didn't do anything with him. WCW didn't do anything with him. And I look at him and I go, they're not going to... I don't know that you have enough... of your own charisma to be able to be packaged as something, and you're going to burn out if it's just, I'm 7 foot tall and now my tights say I'm from Queens.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. I mean, if he keeps squashing dudes like he squashed Enzo, though, that's, people will
that
take
will
notice,
yeah,
but
that'll,
only
that'll
for so
work,
long.
But yeah, exactly.
Like that brutal overhead, like gorilla press onto the floor.
Yeah.
Like, that was crazy.
Yeah. I won the hardcore belt on that one.
You sure did. You said it, and then it happened, like, immediately, too. But that match was pretty good. I assume the feud is over. I don't think Enzo's like, he's probably gonna be like, I don't want anything to do with you. Like,
I can imagine them like having some more interactions, but I don't think there's gonna be another fight.
Yeah, not right away.
There's gonna be like they run into each other backstage, or he like goes to Cass and he's just like, you know, I just want to clarify, it's over, right?
No, I disagree. I think he's going to come out and say what you were saying, how his heart wasn't into it. He still held out hope that he was going to, things were going to turn around. But you know what? That beating he took just knocked that right out of him. Yeah, I want one more chance at you, and I want it at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And I want it in a certified G match. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that's where we're going to go with it.
You know, it's going to be a Brooklyn street fight.
You got it. It is exactly going to be that.
It's gonna,
and that's how he could win.
I'm okay with
like,
it.
He'll brass knucks him or something like that. And like, that's how you get the win over him.
If that's where you go with this story, I'm down.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. Yeah. Where we go after that, I don't know. But at least it's 2 months of entertainment.
I could see them both doing some like rebound tag team work where they both like Big Show comes in and like some other small person comes in for Cass and they kind of like...
he just gets a new Enzo.
They kind of like feud with their new relationships and it's like super awkward and like in the end they get back together and
it's
everybody's
like
I guess this is
the
right.
I mean, the thing is, all you need is for Enzo to be getting beaten up by insert anyone here and
yeah.
Big Cass comes to save him and these guys are back together. Like,
yeah.
That's all it takes.
Whatever.
And he's just got to look at him, he's got to be like, dude, and, you know, and it's over. It's,
yeah.
So it's an easy thing to patch back up.
Whenever they decide to do it,
exactly.
However
right.
many months or years, like that's the easiest feud to end.
Yeah, Enzo
and
gets
to
on the bad
together.
Side of Bray Wyatt, and Bray is like, beating the crap out of him, and then Enzo's
a terrible feud. Well, no, it's not even
it's
out of
exactly
the realm of possibility.
Be,
honestly,
you know?
It's really not.
No, it would be two people who talk shit all the time and lose fighting against each other where someone's got to win.
This is destiny.
Yeah. No, but if they take this feud to a, all right, you woke me up now. Now I'm ready. Like, now I know I hate you. I thought we were just having a riff, but now I hate you. Brooklyn street fight in Brooklyn at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
If that's where they go with this, I'm super jazzed for that. Next
but are
one,
you jazzed to see it for the next 6.5 months?
No, I think there's going to be one more match probably.
Are you ready for a Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn kind of thing?
I don't know that they go that way with this.
I just think this has to go to SummerSlam, and that's the next pay-per-view for them. So there's two pay-per-views before SummerSlam. Like, well, there's a SmackDown, and then there's SummerSlam.
And then there's SummerSlam,
I don't know. I feel like their theme right now is to draw out feuds as long as humanly
possible. I mean,
you're
not wrong. No.
See, the difference, I think, with between this and the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn one is, like, those guys are more on the same level. Like, they're the same height. Like, they came in around the same time. They played up that friendship, even though they were never tag team partners. This is, like, two guys who are like brothers now because they tag together, but also one's 7 feet tall and one looks like a hobbit. Like, it's going to be one of those things where, like, they're not really the same, so I don't think they'll have this, like, back and forth forever.
Yeah.
Because it's believable that Sammy could overtake Kevin Owens. It's less believable that Enzo could beat up Big Cass.
Hey, at least consistently. Love the underdog.
Yeah, exactly. Consistently enough to make it a worthwhile 6-month feud if that's where they were trying to go with it. But I definitely don't want to see that. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting to. The next one that we have here, Rollins and Bray, which actually opened the show, I do recall. That match was okay, though I don't think any of us really cared.
Just wasn't a lot of buildup, so I wasn't very invested in it.
Yeah.
I was really only interested in it because it's just not a match I'd ever seen before or seen often. So
it would have been nice if, you know, Bray is Bray. You know, it's hard to get excited for him, but at least he works good when he has, like, this is the way I'm fucking with you.
Yeah.
Like, this is how I'm getting under your skin. He didn't get that with this one. It was just the two of them are fighting now.
But he also got a win. So there you go.
Yeah,
it's true. So,
was I right about that in the end? Was it all heel wins?
Oh, yeah, that was Joe's theory. And let's see. So Neville, heel, Sheamus and Cesaro, heel, Miz,
maybe we should wait
heel.
When we finish every match.
Yeah, we'll do that. So far, yes, all heels. For the ones that we've gone down. So Bray won that match, which nobody picked. We all picked Rollins to win that match.
Did not see it coming.
We just thought, you know, LOL, Bray loses. and the match was pretty good, but none of us were really... With it being the first match, it was a little hard to, like, get into it.
And then also, no one cared.
Like, yeah.
The build-up sucked, so it was, there's a match going on. Like, here's generic Raw match number 4.
Yeah, exactly. You know? This also set up the start of, like, a couple of bad finishes, like we had talked about a couple minutes ago, where, like, it just was really quick. Like, Seth got distracted by, like, punching, and then, like, Bray caught him with Sister Abigail or something. Like, there was some weird thing where it was just like,
him in the eyes.
Oh, yeah, he gouged him in the eye. That's what it was. And so he, like, poked him and then got Sister Abigail. And it was kind of just like a, oh, all right.
Yeah, eye poke is always one of my least favorite. That's not getting you pinned. Like,
yeah.
I think, like, you got poked in the eye. Oh, I guess you can't kick out of a pin now.
That's what I'm saying.
He did eat Sister Abigail, which we know is a devastating maneuver.
It's more I hate when, like, that's how they win, but regardless.
Not really a lot to say about that one, which is why it was a one-point match. Next, we have the women's title match, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks, which was good.
Yeah, no, it was a good match.
It was
a lot of spots that made us all go like,
oh my God, Sasha took some devastating.
Oh, the one of the knee to the back of the neck where she, like, bent in half.
There were a couple times where, like, I was like, oh my God, she just got folded in half.
Also, we got to talk about the greatest heel move in all of wrestling. I just popped my arm, like, in half. It's broken. It's broken. Just kidding. Shoulder. Punch you in the face.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Where Alexa Bliss held her elbow inverted, just like.
I can't believe that this is the, like. It took this long to see that again. You would think, I guess, it's like, if you do it the time, eventually,
it's like
every time
magic.
You pop it, you're like, oh, come on. I'm not falling for that.
It's like twin magic. Like, wow, you managed to pull it off every single match.
Well, to be fair, the first time she did it wasn't her going, ow, look, my arm hurt. It was Becky Lynch had her in the disarmer, and it was pop, so it just looked more brutal. I don't think she was using it to, like, get a ruse. It just looked more brutal, and we're like, oh, I hope she can, like, actually do that, because that looked painful. And then here it was the, haha, oh, no, I'm hurt, gotcha, I punched you in the face. And she hit her really hard, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there were some really hard-hitting spots in in this match. So I thought it was really good. It's why I hope it kind of continues, and it probably will, because didn't Sasha And she attacked her afterwards.
She did that, like,
she had a bloody nose.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They went out onto the outside.
Gooch slam.
Gooch slam.
That's how it ended. So this feud will continue, and I think we'll get what we had all hoped we had gotten leading up to it, which we talked about in part one, which is they're going to have some good trash talking back and forth. So a real true, like, build this feud to SummerSlam, I think, is going to be enjoyable to watch.
Agreed.
It'll be interesting to see if they try to add a piece like Nia or something else into it just to make it feel like a bigger match at SummerSlam. I don't really want them to, but I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to do that and make it a triple threat. But overall, pretty good match.
Yeah.
Next one we have here is the ambulance match, which was pretty good. Pretty violent.
The match itself was fun.
Stairs, chairs, ring post stuff. They didn't go through the announce table, which they looked like they were setting up for at one point. Lots of ambulance slamming.
A lot of it felt very predictable.
Yeah, for the most part. You know, you do the fighting in the ring, then outside the ring.
Every big man match really is.
Yeah. It did end with Roman going for a spear and Braun sidestepping him and closing the door, which was great.
It was such a Tiny Toons move.
Yeah.
Yeah. It absolutely worked. Tiny
Toons move.
And then after
you
the match.
You just need to hear the whoop.
Yeah. I'm sure someone will do that too.
Puff of smoke.
Yeah. Someone should do that and put it online. That'd be really funny. But then
interesting stuff is what happened after the match.
Yes, Roman came out and came out of the ambulance because he wasn't actually really that hurt. He just got caught in the bad spot.
He threw himself into the ambulance.
Yeah, which is something you don't want to do. And then he proceeded to beat the shit out of Braun, throw him in the back of the ambulance, drive the ambulance away into like the big parking area, and then slam it into another truck with Braun.
He backed
trapped
it up
inside.
Into it.
Yeah, 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 like backwards. But he was revving it. Like he wasn't like a
beep.
beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, it was crushed.
And then came the weird stuff where they couldn't get the door open. Nobody tried to drive the car forward. They then sent out a weird match, which was Heath Slater versus Kurt Hawkins, which everybody picked Heath Slater and Joe picked Kurt Hawkins.
No, John picked Kurt Hawkins.
Oh, yeah, John picked Kurt Hawkins as well.
I said, look, if they're going to give Kurt Hawkins a win, now's the time to give it while people are distracted.
When no one's watching.
Literally no one was watching because the match ended while they had a full screenshot of what was happening in the back.
Yeah, we didn't even have it in like a small screen.
Nope.
They didn't even care enough to show us that.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
It was just for the crowd to have something else to look at, for people who can't see the screen.
I guess. It just seemed
really
weird
for us. So
on the
screen, they were showing everything that was going on, and then they were having the match in the ring. And yeah, it was... They were just showing the fire department using the jaws of life to open up the ambulance doors. And you just hear ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. And your winner, Heath Slater.
Slater. Oh, okay. I guess that's what happened.
So yeah, they used the jaws of life to cut open the ambulance. They got Roman had already limped away, and Braun was just in there, climbed out all bloody, and then
just
walked away.
Blood.
Yeah,
obviously fake blood.
Right, yeah, but still,
I'm sure he didn't really get smashed up in the back of that ambulance.
Walked away slowly, wiping blood everywhere on every clean white surface in the back.
Leave me alone.
Yeah,
I want to be left alone.
Leave me alone. So Braun once again wins with awesome catchphrases.
Yep.
One screamed, one muttered under his breath, but it was like the Phantom of the Opera. He's just like, leave me alone.
I swear to God, he's just going to become the WWE's Frankenstein monster.
He essentially is, man.
I'm fine with that.
He's a monster among men.
Yeah.
Just like Frankenstein's monster was. So that feud probably will continue because Roman clearly wasn't finished with Braun this time. So yeah. I don't know.
They both ran away.
Yeah,
something has to kind of solidify in the end there.
So it'll be interesting to see where that goes, considering Roman lost a match and just within the last week was like, I want the winner of Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe. So we'll see if he gets that or if Braun tries to take it from him, which brings us to Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe, which was a fight. And we had all predicted it to be a fight that started before the bell even rung when Lesnar looked like he was going to get caught like he did at Goldberg. And Joe kicked the shit out of him, slammed him through the announce table, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was super cool. I mean, I'm not very happy with the match. I'm annoyed that it was essentially Joe beating the shit out of him for 70% of the match, and then just F5, boom, you're done.
He
got in some Germans.
Yeah, he took him to Suplex City, like, seven times.
Yep.
I guess that is true. That is fair.
Threw some good knees, you know, he, like... he fought back enough. But yeah, it was mostly Joe, like you said, probably 70%. Oh, yeah.
70% for like from the beginning of the match.
Yeah.
And then
including the bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a long match with Brock Lesnar.
It still wasn't even a long match. Wouldn't,
like, he's just not, he doesn't have the stamina, I don't think.
It was still only like a 7 minute length.
It was less than six, because I had predicted for my hardcore bet it was going to be like 5:28, and it went like 5:46. Like, it didn't go much longer than that. So, I'm surprised that he's not going longer. I would think that he's in condition to do that. He works out all the time.
Yeah, but those are different muscles.
I think
muscles.
It's more about avoiding injury.
Those are different muscle fibers.
The less time he's in the ring, the less likely he is to get hurt.
That's true.
I think that's all it is.
Which is a bummer, because like
protecting their asset. Yeah.
When he was younger, he did really good matches. Like, and they were longer. They weren't, you know, the most finesse thing ever, but they were good. These are fun, but they're not necessarily as good as they used to be.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that was fun because of Joe.
Yeah.
It was not because of Brock.
They're also not as fun when you know that he's just flexing his contractual muscle over a person who's got to do this day in and day out.
Yeah.
And so like, oh, cool. All right. See you at SummerSlam. Like, thanks, champ. You know, like,
I'll see you a couple days beforehand to run through some moves.
Yeah, we'll see you the Raw previous, and that's about it. So, yeah, that's a little frustrating. It takes a little bit of the fun out of the match.
Yeah, and I think if they're 6 Mondays before SummerSlam, he'll probably be at 2 or 3 of them. Like, yeah. I think he's there for half of them.
And then it'll just be him walking in the ring while Heyman says something.
Exactly.
Or video.
There won't be matches.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't
one
know.
Of them will be a quick fight, but like,
Brock's starting to talk a little bit more. So who knows? And he might not even face Joe again. He may face somebody else. Because I think they just want to get as many like quote unquote dream matches of people to face Brock Lesnar on his way to whatever he's done, which is probably this WrestleMania, I think, is what he's contracted for in this most recent contract. Because I think it was 3 years, and he re-upped before 31 in San Francisco. So, but yeah, Joe comes out looking like a rose here, though. Like, Joe looked awesome in this match. Even though he lost with the F5, they make it look like it's such a devastating maneuver.
That's true.
It's like the RKO, where like all it takes is one F5 and you're hit.
Yeah.
Unless you're a superhuman like Roman Reigns, which I'm sure he'll take 3 and still kick out of them when they do come to blows.
Naturally.
I mean, that was my prediction for how this match turned out.
Yeah.
It was going to be Joe putting on a hell of a good show, but Brock still squeaking it out in the end. It's exactly what it was.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, if Joe gets to put a beating like that down on Brock Lesnar, even when losing, he still looks tough as fuck.
Yeah, like, even the fact that he lost, if I'm another superstar on that roster, I don't want to face Samoa Joe for anything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's going to kick the shit out of me. Look what he did to Brock. Like, he took
Brock
him to the...
Brock, but he destroyed
he took
him.
Took him to the limit.
Yeah, past the point of no return.
I do love how ridiculously red Brock gets.
Yeah,
he just looks like he got
like
the shit kicked out of him.
Weird,
yeah. Well,
I feel like, I don't know if they were really expecting him to get that red last time when Joe got him in the Kimura lock. And I think they were like, you got to keep doing it now. Because everyone loved how red your face got. So we got to see
so
you get
fair.
Red again.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
like
very
said,
pasty.
His skin is so thin.
Yeah.
It's so paper thin because he bleeds like nothing.
You can tell that he's just like super, super like fair and like thin skinned because his eyelashes are so light.
Albino?
No, probably not far off from it.
Yeah,
just because he
is
very light.
The same color as his skin.
No, it's still more yellow, I think.
Well, yeah. I think it's also because it's so short.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. And probably
his eyes are super pale too, though.
Yeah, I like how this has devolved into like, not only do we not like him in the ring, but he also looks funny too.
Deconstruct him entirely. He's a monster.
I like it.
But he still looks better than Paul Heyman, who's just an egg.
I love Paul Heyman.
No, Paul is great.
Oh my
okay,
God.
So
Paul Heyman is Dr. Robotnik.
Yep, sure is.
All right, so now, was I right in the end?
Let's go through it. So Neville, heel. Sheamus and Cesaro, heel. Miz, heel. Big Cass, heel. Bray, heel. Technically, no. Sasha won, which we didn't cover.
But it was on
Alexa Bliss's count out, and Alexa keeps the belt. So technically, that's a wash.
She let herself get count out, so she technically won it because she walks away with the belt.
Yeah, that's a wash. Braun is technically, if you wanted to bracket it out, is the heel, despite the fact that people love him more than Roman.
It's Roman is supposed to be the face, but Braun is
still a heel win.
Yeah.
Kurt Hawkins lost, so he's not a heel. So,
No, I got kids.
True.
He's definitely a face.
He's definitely the face. And then I would assume Joe is the heel in Brock versus Joe.
I think it's technically is.
Although they're both just fighters.
Kind of like both heels.
Yeah, that's kind of a wash. But people, they build Brock like he's the one you're supposed to like. Because he's the monster attraction where, like, Joe's sneaking up on people and fighting he's after the bell.
The dick.
Yeah. Like. Yeah, there was the dick kick. He kicked him right in his great balls of fire. That's right, Carrie. We said it again. But yeah, so 98% heel. 98.5%.
Very heel focused night.
Yeah. I like
it. It was good.
So yeah, overall, I think we all had a good time with this one. I think this was. We thought going in it was going to be a pretty good card. Turned out to be a pretty good card.
7 out of 10.
We don't do that.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Do that. What are you doing?
B minus.
Get out of here. No.
those don't even
equate to. 3 out of 5 stars.
These are all different numbers.
This is such another level to this that we don't need to go to.
No, it's definitely not that.
More arbitrary number systems.
There we go. That's what this world needs. More arbitrary number systems.
I give it 4 bananas.
Wow. Well, no, we can't do bananas anymore because Austin Aries got fired.
Not even telling you how many out of.
I give it 2.5 grapes out of stars.
Damn. But that's going to do it for the Broken Clocks main event. You can find us on Twitter at Broken Clock Pods. This will go up. Our main event show goes up the Monday after every WWE pay-per-view. We also have our games cast, which goes up every Monday morning. So look for a new episode of that as well. You can listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, and Stitcher. Once again, for the Broken Clock Podcast, my name is Adam.
I'm Joe.
I'm Tyler.
My name is Kerry, your current champion.
And we are all guaranteed to be right at least twice a day.
Except me, always right.
John in his debut proved to be right with 2. So good on him, but thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.